Hello, Internet. It's Tori. You're listening to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. For updates on when episodes go live, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. To join the discussion, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/CosmereCast, where you'll find an invitation to our Discord server. Thank you for listening, and please, enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Joining me this week are Craig.
Hey, how's it going?
Dave.
Hey.
And Tori.
Hello, Internet.
And we start every week with Craig hosting, so take it away, Craig.
Do we start with that?
Oh, not man. Every week. So,
he tricked you into week. The episode.
What?
He tricked you into joining the episode, so he could make you host.
Oh.
You've fallen for my trap. You fool. You imbecile. You stupid, stupid man.
My good thing this week is, a movie. I'll shout out a movie. I might have done this before. I'm not sure. But we just popped it on TV. I'm like, you know, this is pretty good. It is... Hold on. Ignore the clicks. Hold on.
Can't have been that good if you don't even remember what it was.
Now, I want to look up what year came out. So it's a film starring Robert Redford and Paul Newman called The Sting. It was made in 1973. My wife showed me this movie like a decade ago or something. And I'm like, oh man, it's gonna be a stupid movie because I don't watch anything like before the 80s. But turns out it's actually a pretty good movie. It's about a con man. Well, multiple con. It's really good. So highly recommended. It's a fun watch. I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it's definitely how you make a movie about con men right, in my opinion. I've watched, you know, a handful of them, and this is just the best one that I've seen. Just really good. I mean, you know, has Robert Redford, Paul Newman, good stuff.
Have you seen Matchstick Men? Because that's how you do a con man movie badly.
You know what's a bad one? I hated American Hustle so much.
Like, I don't think I've seen that one.
Well, don't. It's such a boring movie. But, yeah, no, we're talking about good things, and I recommend this movie. It has a fun little theme. It takes place in the 30s. It plays The Entertainer, if you know that song. It's like a typical piano song that you might have heard.
You mean the Ragtime tune by early... Scott Joplin or the Billy Joel song?
No, the former. Yeah, so it's pretty good. Recommended, and like I said, I don't want to spoil too much because there is some things you have to pay attention to. I will just say that. Yeah.
It's a movie about a con. There's going to be twists.
Sure.
I thought it was a movie about a man.
So there you go, and also I'm still playing Final Fantasy.
Connor,
so good, guys.
No, it's a movie about a dragon.
Okay, that's it.
The Dragon Man.
Yeah, actually, it's a Dragon Man. Man, Craig is just utterly failing at this hosting thing. So, Dave, what's your good thing?
I thought Craig was going to ask me.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see. My good thing this week is a Metroidvania game called Axiom Verge. Sequel just came out this week. I'm not going to buy it because I'm going to wait for it to come out on Steam, but good for them for getting a Switch exclusive release for Axiom Verge 2. The funny thing is my first notification that Axiom Verge 2 suddenly came out was a Bandcamp notification that said, you're following Thomas Happen. He has a new album, Axiom Verge 2. And I was like, what? Is the game out yet? I thought they weren't going to make that for like another 10 years. But my good thing is the first game in the series, which is super duper cool. Kind of a little bit of a mind flip story wise. It's apocalyptic future type of thing, cloning and weird stuff, and really smooth platforming gameplay. Just everything that you'd love to expect in that genre.
So I haven't played it.
Great music, boss fights, variety of weapons.
Couple of streams, but not enough to actually like get a story or anything. But the art style looks like pixel art. Horror,
yeah,
creepy.
Yeah, there's some jump scares and stuff too.
Cool. All right, so my good thing this week.
I was just gonna say, apparently it's been sitting on my wish list, so I guess I'm waiting for it to be on sale.
Yeah, cool.
Maybe it'll come out with a bundle when Axiom Verge 2 hits the Steam shelves.
Is it like full release or is it like open beta?
Right now, it's full release Switch only.
Oh, very cool. All right. So yeah, my good thing this week is, I was asked once again to guest on the Legendarium Green Team podcast. We talked about the Ghost Brigades, which is Old Man's War, Book 2 by John Scalzi. And that was a lot of fun. Got to chat about a book that I really like that isn't by Brandon Sanderson. And I guess I'll let you guys know when the episode actually gets released.
Fun, fun. Cool.
So, Tori, what's your good thing this week?
I watched The Suicide Squad. Not Suicide Squad, because that's the older one, but The Suicide Squad. That's the new one. It's kind of confusing. It's not meant to be a sequel. It's also not meant to be a reboot. But it's a fun movie, and it was fun. And King Shark is in it, and he's hilarious. And voiced by Sylvester Stallone, somehow. But that's irrelevant to the plot. But I thought it was funny when I saw his name in the credits. It was fun. It was violent. There was a whole lot of, like, I didn't know what was going to happen next because it was off-the-wall, zany crazy. But I enjoyed it. I laughed out loud. And, yeah, fun times.
And it's directed by James Gunn of the Guardians of the Galaxy films fame.
It is indeed, yes.
And also Brightburn, which I still haven't seen, but still kind of want to. I should get around to that. So, Dave.
Hmm?
I see by your notes that you have a number 19. What's that about?
That's referring to chapter 19 of Shadows of Self by Brandon Sanderson, which I read this week. So let's get into it.
Hey, real quick before we do that, if you'd like to see Dave's notes while we're recording, you should donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/CosmereCast, CosmereCast. And continue.
Chapter 19. That was the breaks. And I just broke a rubber band on my hand while I said that. That was the breaks. Milan gets Chandra lessons from Wayne. Wayne is surprisingly wise, but not really. Hats is like bones, they is. Gotta go, watch the idiot. Wayne's not afraid of most bullets. Renette is broken. Let's go hear out the crowd. Aridel is no lord. Hey, I accidentally opened this lunchbox and these damaging papers fell into my hand. Harmony had thought of everything when creating the Field of Rebirth. Half beard around his mouth. Wax wants to punch his ancestor. Ed Warren was right then. Replica of Harmony's bands and the bands of mourning. Someone has been waiting for Wax. And that's the end of this week's chapters. I can't wait to find out who that mysterious voice was behind the door.
And see you guys next week. We're never going to record, so you can't find out.
Well, I can read next week's chapters.
Up the episode!
Stop the pressure. So something was the break. So I think that was like being governor. It was like, oh, you got to be governor and get all these fancy snacks. But people try to kill you. That's what the governor signed up for, right?
Someone's got to be the focus of all the assassins.
Yeah, someone's got to tank.
That's my understanding of political office, is that, you know, you get fancy snacks and people try to kill you. It's a give and take, you know?
Them's the breaks.
Someone's got a tank.
All right. So we have Milan and Wayne talking here, and Wayne is giving Milan some help with her accent. And Milan says, you're wasted as a human. But Wayne says, no, I only had one drink today. But it might have been more. Let me take a look. And his bottle's almost empty. Hats is like bones. Yeah. And then he hears a familiar voice at the door of the governor's mansion. So he has to run. And, of course, it is Renette here to deliver the package that Wax had asked for. And there's some weird bullet that makes Wayne, like, shaky. And Renette's like, I know you're afraid of guns, but it's just a bullet. And Wayne's like,
it's not a weird bullet. It's all bullets would do that to him.
No. He says he's not afraid of most bullets most of the time. And he's handled that aluminum bullet, you know, with Wax in the first book and didn't really have that kind of reaction. And then she hands him more different bullets and they don't make him all shaky. And Renette is broken. She's not as mean to Wayne as he was hoping. It says Mishra would shoot Renette if she went out with Wayne, but I don't know who Mishra is. Do I know who Mishra is?
You do not.
Not yet.
Who is it?
I'll leave it up to Mike if he wants to tell you.
The way she was talking about Mishra, maybe like Mishra is Renette.
Can I just tell him, Mike, then? I don't think it's a spoiler.
Is it What's that?
It's Renette's girlfriend.
Ah, so she has a girlfriend and a boyfriend.
No, she does not have a boyfriend. She is not interested in boys. In fact, Wax has said that in this book, I think. He's like, she's not interested in that way. This is the way they mean.
But Wayne is her boyfriend.
Wayne would like to think he's her boyfriend.
Wayne does think he's her boyfriend.
Wayne is everyone's boyfriend.
Wayne even is Milan? 100% wrong.
All right. I think Bistro would be okay if Renette went and had a drink with Wayne. She wouldn't be threatened. I don't know, unless Wayne tried something sneaky.
In which case, she'd probably shoot Wayne, not... excuse me.
Anyways, so Wayne goes outside to hear what the crowd's all arguing about. And then Aridel and Marassi are taking a gallop trot around town to go back. And Marassi shows off her ankles and hands him the envelope with the damning evidence.
Listen, ankles are fine. It's a safe hand is where we get really risque.
Dude, that's the wrong planet. All right, so... Yeah, Aridel's like, did you steal these papers? And Marassi's like, we'll let the courts decide. And Aridel's like, nope. All right, that's what happened there. And then we're going to go to Wax as he's entering the Chondra homelands. And
do we meet a returning favorite character?
Wax is here.
Is he a returning favorite?
Yes.
Hmm. Not in this chapter.
Do we have Doc Sandra?
Oh, we'll get there. All right, so they're thought of everything. So the Field of Rebirth is like where the rebirthing happened after the Catacendra. And what was there like? Oh, because he's like, oh, he even made it like the grass perfectly mowed and stuff like that. Because it's like supposed to be preserved throughout history. And it's like, well, obviously they're maintaining this stuff. But yeah, who knows? Maybe that is how Harmony made it. I don't know. And then there's one of these guards. I don't know if they're actually constables or if they're conjurantstables because they're guarding the homeland or like the sacred grounds of the Field of Rebirth. But one of them has a half beard around his mouth, which could imply that it's a full circle around his mouth, not a semicircle.
It's crazy talk, that is.
Okay.
Half circle, well, half beard.
So. You know, Wax is looking at all of the, what's that word for museum stuff?
Relics?
Exhibits.
Exhibits, yeah.
Artichokes, that's it. Exhibits, yeah. Oh, that was my good thing this week, the exhibit game. That one's cute. Maybe next week. Yeah, so there's the Bands of Mourning, which is the title of the third book, and Harmony's Bands, which I guess Harmony's Bands are his copper mines? But this is just a relic of his copper mines.
Yeah, those are his copper mines. Well, a replica of his copper mines.
And then...
So, based on that, do you know what the Bands of Mourning are?
Tyndall's copper mines.
The name of the third book.
Good job, Mike. You figured it out.
Are they some other bracers? Are they more different copper mines?
I think we'll have to wait until we get to the next book.
Is it the Lord Ruler's bracers?
But you definitely have some guesses here.
Bands of Mourning. Maybe they're like rubber bands or like big band music.
Were you in mourning when you broke that rubber band on your hand earlier?
No.
It's probably not rubber bands.
It's probably not there. Right. Were there any other significant terrace folk in Era 1 other than Sazed, Tyndall, and Rayshak?
There's the one that first figured out that Ruin was changing the text because he memorized everything and didn't use copper mines.
They're probably his copper mines then.
He never used them. So he mourned them.
There you go. All right. So Wax is going behind like this secret door and there's this mysterious voice that comes from behind the door. And we'll never find out who owns that voice until chapter 20.
But who is in that? Who is that voice?
Right name? Now,
was it Nightblood?
Tony J.
Tony J.
Who's that yeah, Pokemon?
Dude. It's Tony J's voice. Tony J's the guy I got to give his voice. All right, so chapter 20. Wax fires a shotgun to see in the dark. just like in Spelunky.
I appreciate that, Dave. That's what you do.
How can Tensu not appreciate Suni cubs? Dude, if somebody made stuffed Dave animals, I'd be all for it. I'd be like, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen as a stuffed animal of me.
You already have a Dave guy. What more do you need?
Yeah, I want him to pay his taxes.
It was the form he was forced to take by Vin back when Vin didn't like him.
Okay, so what's forcing him to be a wolf handler now?
Well, now he's appreciated because Vin was the one who made him take that form. So he likes Vin, so he does it in respect of her.
Plus, so why doesn't he like Suni cubs?
Also, he decided the dog body was useful.
It is useful. He's actually can keep up with Allomancers in that body.
Well, when he steals Orser's spikes.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Payom wants to bring down God himself. Ears. And then finally, Bleeder finds a Chondra and a Constable. Yippee. Okay. There you have it. So Wax and Suni puppers are talking. And, you know, Payom was like, oh, I've taken out the eyes. That's the clergy and the tongue. She cut out the governor's tongue or something. And then
no, the tongue are the Chondra.
See? No, the ears are the Chondra. You're just jumping ahead to chapter 21, but
I thought okay. Well, I know the Chondra are one of them.
Chondra are the pancreas. And I did jump to
sorry, Dave. Spoilers. I read these chapters. Though.
Anyway, I would think the tongue was the governor. See, like the clergy see God or something, so they're the eyes. So they're like Harmony's eyes. And Harmony's tongue is like the governor because he rules the people. So she's after the governor as the tongue. But then, like, what's next? Ears? And we'll find out maybe in chapter 21 what the ears are.
No, your ears you keep, and I'll tell you why.
And all this time
To the pain.
I know that line.
Yep, I know what they're talking about now.
So they're at the Chondra homelands where they used to keep the ATM. So I wonder if there's still any ATM left over, and I wonder if there are any ATM Allomancers. And I can think of at least one character who has Allomancy in her bloodline and has not shown to have any Allomantic powers yet. So it's like Goradel, and it's like, is it Goradel?
I will say there is no ATM there currently. That is actually unknown, but I don't think it's really a spoiler. But there is no ATM there. I do know that Marsh has a stockpile of ATM, but he does not have all the ATM. He has a fraction of the ATM. That's how he's still living, because he does the same thing the Lord Ruler did with the ATM.
I would say that one hole is a fraction, but that would be improper.
So technically there is a character who can burn ATM currently, and that's Marsh.
Okay.
But aside from that, I think ATM mistings can still come about, although Harmony tweaked the whole metal system when he got his shards. So
he
the fact
it?
That he
I thought the preservation or ruin like AT or Larassi kind of
right.
did that.
They actually tweaked it to put their metals as the even though they're god metals, they were part of the 16. Like that was actually a change preservation did, and Sazed fixed it, returned
right.
it to the way it should
Sazed
be.
Sazed changed it back. But, yeah. I mean, ATM still exists. All the god metals
right.
exist.
It still exists.
Somehow.
It is a finite resource because ruin doesn't exist in order to make more ATM.
What do you mean? Ruin exists.
ATM is ruin's body, so...
Okay. Yeah.
ATM was basically condensation from ruin's shard pool.
So, as of right now, Harmony is one shard. Like, there is no two shards. It's not a ruin and preservation shard. They are now combined.
So, what happens if you burn cesium?
What does happen if you burn cesium?
You can see into the future and you become a Mistborn. Because it's a combination of ATM and Larassium.
It's a shame we're never going to find out.
Maybe we'll find out. Are we going to find out?
Such a shame.
What's that thing you always say in the Cosmere books?
Refo.
Read and... find out.
Read and never find out.
All right. So there you have it. What happens if you burn cesium? And I think that I'm putting it out there that I think Steris might be some kind of ATM misting, not or some kind of like some misting of some unknown metal. What did I say? Although maybe she's maybe she hasn't snapped yet. Do they still snap in this game, or is that only Era 1?
It's still a thing that has to happen. Although I think Seiza tweaked it so you don't have to be that traumatic, but it's sort of how investiture tends to work in the first place, that it requires some sort of traumatic experience.
So I want to say that for Era 2, Sazed tweaked it, so all you have to do is be exposed to the mist. And then if you are a misting, yeah. If you're an Allomancer, you have some mild seizures, probably won't kill you, and then you get superpowers. So like a toned-down version of what was going on in Hero of Ages.
In the Mist Fallen?
Yeah.
Just what was like a mist tripping.
Hero of Ages was specific because of preservation, so he can get that 1 in 16 number repeated over and over again.
And then turned up to 11 by Ruin to hurt people.
So thankfully, Seiza can tweak it, so it's not hurtful.
As hurtful. It still needs to be at least a little traumatic.
But have you ever seen Steris and the mists at the same time?
Have they ever been in the same room at the same time?
Is Steris really just the mists wearing glasses with their hair combed the other way?
Let's ask her if she knows where the pizza is.
Is Steris 6'3" and built like a truck but slouching a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, anything could be hidden under those skirts. We don't know.
All right. So I think she's going to turn out to be something. And then Bleeder. So there's, you know, the beginning part of this chapter, Tensoon is telling Wax about how there are other Chandra on the surface going around as clergymen trying to reverse the damage that Bleeder has done. But then, somehow Bleeder got a hold of the Malatium syringe and outs one of the Chandra. Acting as a clergyman, she's like, see, look, your god is sending piles of slime at you to try to convert you. And then she also says, also, there's a constable hiding in the crowd, referring to Wayne, I guess. And that's the end of chapter 20.
So what happens in chapter 21?
Good week.
Chapter 21, Ash Falls, perfect movie poster tagline. She doesn't just kill, she ruins. If they ever make the Mistborn 5 movie, I think that would be on the poster. If movie posters even still exist by then, I don't know if they do now. Hunger Games Wolves. Anti-verdant is a cool word. So, just real quick. Anti-verdant is an awesome word because I like words like this where I've never heard them before, but I can tell just by looking at them what they mean. Anti meaning before and verdant meaning green. So Wax is talking about how, you know, a shotgun is a little less precise and he prefers the pistol, which is like more as like an extension of your body, kind of like how coins were in the anti-verdant days, in the anti-verdant days. And I was like, oh, anti-verdant, it's a cool word. And it's not capitalized, so I guess it's just like a regular English word that I've never seen before. And I liked the use of the word. The before green years.
Yeah, it looks like it's specifically Brandon Sanderson came up with it, but for the reason that you said, because it makes sense.
I liked it.
So maybe that's the word that we should use to refer to the before times instead of calling them the before times, because that's getting old already.
The antiverdant times?
Look, as long as we keep using chasm hangers, I'm good. We can call things whatever you want.
And I'm telling you, that's gross. The pre-green.
I mean, that's what
back,
it means.
You
right?
know, back when they used to actually build sets instead of using green screens.
I mean, I just basically say Error 1 because I'm referring to the books, but I'll use anti-verdant.
I think it's more of a schwa, anti-verdant.
I wonder if anyone has used anti-verdant to describe an area where a golf course exists now.
The T?
Before it was a green.
The fairway is the anti-verdant?
But more likely, golf courses replace it like a fart or something, so, yeah.
What? I think he's talking about the fairway.
Yeah, I the actual green that is referred... Yeah, I know.
Okay. I think he's talking about what it was before it was the green.
Yes.
Because it's anti... Yes.
I get the joke.
Tori gets it.
Oh, I thought he meant the area of the golf course that you have to swing from before you get to the green and start putting, i.e. the fairway.
Oh, specifically called the fairway the anti-verdant way, and then you hit it onto the
green. I guess, I mean, like the rough and the bunkers and the water are all not green as well. Well, you're not supposed to hit it into the water or the bunker or the rough, but you can.
You're also not supposed to hit it.
I mean, you're not supposed to.
You're also not supposed to hit it, like, through the window of those weird houses that are built on golf courses. But,
why is that?
Hey, you gotta put the shed somewhere in houses.
You're also supposed
to use, man.
You're also not supposed to take, like, 10 strokes at each hole.
By the way, why, when we went house shopping, people would talk about, like, this has golf course views. Like, why is that a good thing? I don't want golf course views.
I mean, I'd be okay with, like, rolling green hills for a view, but I don't need men in funny shorts walking around hitting golf balls on them all the time. I can skip that part.
And drinking and driving weird little cars.
Yeah, it's just weird. Golf course things are weird. I don't get it. It's like this whole culture that, I don't know.
Yeah, because the houses that they build on the golf courses are, like, the expensive houses, and I don't know why a golf course is a feature.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why is that a feature? I don't want to look at a golf course. I'd rather look at trees and nature.
They have trees on golf courses.
But what if you're a golfer and you would like to start from the seventh hole at 2 a.m.?
I don't think they just let people wander onto the golf course to play. I think you have to be a member of that club.
They do if your house is built there, dude.
Okay, yes.
Maybe
if you're
when you buy the house,
the
it comes with a membership.
All right, okay, guys. Mike's getting hungry.
Hunger Game wolves, Dave.
You remember in the Hunger Games where the wolves looked like people? It's like that. That's it. There's wolves that look like people.
Soylent wolves are made of people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alamancy can't help. Oh gosh. All right. I meant to draw this out. It's took me out of the moment. This is a really cool action scene where they're fighting the wolves. But there's a part where Wax has his rifle and he smacks the wolf across the side of the face. And it says that he used Alamancy to push the rifle and increase the momentum of his swing. And that doesn't make any sense. And it took me out of the moment. So if you're swinging, the momentum of your rifle or your club or whatever would be tangent to the arc of your swing, and Alamancy can only push directly out from your center. So it doesn't make, like, it really bothered me that Brandon doesn't like if he were like jabbing it like forward away from the center of his body, okay, you could use Alamancy to increase the force that way. But if he was swinging in an arc and used Alamancy to push his rifle, he would have just sent the rifle flying out of his hands. It bothered me so much, you guys.
Hold on. Actually, I do want to talk about it, because this is not the first time Wax has done something weird with pushing that you seem to disagree with. I think it's because how Steel was described to us in Error 1 is that you were pushing from your center of...
Steel pushing just different mass in this game?
It's not that it's different, it's that it's been refined slightly. My interpretation of Wax and his ability to use Steel is not that it comes from his center of mass, is that he can direct the Steel pushing from any part of his body. So he can start it and push from his hand, not necessarily from his center of mass. In which case, if he directs the force from his hand, which is holding the rifle, in the direction of the thing he wants to hit, he can hit it harder.
If the metal part is in his hand.
What?
If he's holding it by the barrel and the metal part is in his hand, and what you're saying is true, then physically that makes sense. But I don't know. We didn't get any kind of clarification on the fact that steel pushing works completely differently than we've known it to.
Well, it's not that we haven't gotten confirmation, but I think this has happened multiple times in Error 2. So
yeah,
it's
I've
just
had
been my
problems.
Interpretation.
I mean, I also had problems with Kelsier and was it Goradel? When Goradel's having the fight and Kelsier uses his Alamancy to help him win the fight.
Oh yeah, no, that's legit. That's just weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he would have to kind of be like walking around the perimeter of the fight, which, like, feasibly, maybe he was moving around and the crowd's doing that during the fight. But
yeah, that's totally fair. But I think in the case of Wax, I think maybe it's just because he's so it's different. Steel is his metal. It's the one he's practiced on. And I think that's sort of what happens as you continue to practice one.
I would argue metal. That steel was also Kelsier's metal in no smaller way than it is Wax's.
But Kelsier had all of the metals to use that he had to sort of, yeah, steel and
he
iron.
He specialized in steel and iron, though, yeah.
He was specialized in them, but Wax is like, I will say Wax is a better steel misting than Kelsier.
Small,
I think Wax is better with steel than Kelsier was. Kelsier,
small correction, not, who did you say, Dave?
Kelsier?
No, in the fight.
Oh, I said Goradell, but I didn't think that was right.
It's Demu.
Demu, okay. I knew it was the World Hopper one, but I couldn't remember his name.
But yeah, I think Kelsier was better with the combination of steel and iron, as was Vin, but I think Wax is better strictly
dude,
with
Vin. Vin was like straight up pewter spec, dude. You kidding?
Yeah, that's him. She was good with steel, though. Like, that was her thing, because she learned from Kelsier.
I think she was, her main spec was pewter, I would say.
But anyway, I think it's sort of like, if we were looking at specializations, I think because Wax is so specialized, he like sort of unlocked the ability to be able to direct the steel from any part of his body rather than just his center of mass. And keep in mind, a lot of the metals are acting slightly different in Era 2. There's just tweaks. Maybe it's because it's been 300 years of experimentation.
I'm saying there's not necessarily a reason that you're wrong, but I would like some kind of confirmation that that's the case instead of it just...
That's fair.
Otherwise, it just seems like, so Brandon either has in mind that steel works differently, or he's just misusing the power. So I'd give him the benefit of the doubt, but
okay.
I also think that he'd say something.
To the best of my knowledge, nothing that Craig just said has ever been confirmed. However, the way the scenes are written, everything Craig just said makes complete sense to me.
Yeah, okay, that's where I stand.
I think this is a good question for Brandon Sanderson, or maybe it's been asked already. I'll try to take a look while we continue, but just there did like I prefer, especially this is what got me into Brandon Sanderson in the first place. I like it when the magic system is explained and makes sense, and when steel and iron were introduced, it made perfect sense. You have these lines coming from your center that can affect the different metals. Like, it just visually it made sense, and it was mostly consistent aside from like the weird scene with Demu. But yeah, we get to Wax and it's acting different. Like, he's constantly tweaking bullets and changing their trajectory slightly. It's like the only way I can explain that is, you know, like Mike said, like, it makes sense in my mind because that's how I see it, but there's no confirmation on page that says this is how it works now.
Yeah.
And if you can make your like steel pushing center be the palm of your hand, for instance, then steel pushing a bullet super works like a lot.
It makes a lot more sense.
It's great
for that mechanic as well. I don't know. I wouldn't even be upset if Brandon retconned it and said, "Okay, this is how steel pushing works, and it always worked this way." I'm retconning it. Like, I wouldn't even be upset if that were the case if you did that. But it's just We got rules on how steel pushing works, and he hasn't been following them. That's all I'm saying.
And it might have always worked that way if someone worked with steel enough to, like, get used to it enough to go past the point of having it just work from the center of gravity.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. I accept that as a possible explanation, but I got my eye on you, Brandon. All right. Let's finish up here. I didn't finish reading the bullet notes, so the rest of this scene... Wax's harmony's ruin and more coming. So Tensoon be like, I hope Harmony doesn't mind that I killed some people today. And Wax is like, of course not. He has me kill people all the time. Tensoon says, yeah, but you're Harmony's ruin. I'm Harmony's preservation. And Wax doesn't really feel good about that. But there's no time to get upset because there's more Hunger Games wolves coming. Next scene, Wayne knows something or other. So, you know, Bleeder was calling out into the crowd like, oh, there's a Connor in the crowd among you. And Wayne was like, where is he? I think he's over there. Go get him, fellas. And then he slips out and makes his way back to the mansion. And he hears a voice. And the accent of the voice is just slightly off in a profound way, he mentions. So Wayne knows whom Bleeder is trying to impersonate, some voice coming from inside the mansion before he gets inside. So we don't get to find out who that is in this chapter, but
the voice is coming from inside the house.
Exactly. But I mean, Renette might still be there. I think Milan is in there for sure. So like, what if we have another like Condra impersonating a Condra situation coming up? I don't know. We'll find out. And then back to Wax and Tensoon. Wax is grossed out by Condra form. But after all, Wax is just an ugly bag of mostly water, so he shouldn't be upset by it. And then yeah, I wrote down this...
He's always an ugly bag of mostly water. He doesn't sometimes become a completely different ugly bag of mostly water.
Yeah. And then I wrote this note, are they in the pits of Hathsin? And then, like, in the next line, they're in the pits of Hathsin.
Hey, so they're scaling up... Pits of Hathsin?
Yeah, they're scaling up the pits of Hathsin, and... You know, Tensoon is doing it in blob form, kind of like slurping his way up to the top.
And it is then, notable that the pits of Hathsin no longer have like jagged edges.
Yes, there are no jagged edges, no geodes there. Harmony even made sure to put a luminescent plant in there so there would be a light source and nobody would ever feel the dark despair of that place ever again. And then Tensoon is like, oh, those wolf people were trying to distract you, not me. And, you know, you just got to kill people in front of people sometimes. So Wax realizes that Bleeder wanted to draw a crowd before she murdered the governor. And that's the end of this week's chapters for real this time. Any questions?
Yes, for spoiler time.
Any questions for Dave?
I do have a question.
Of course you do. What's up?
Hey, get out. You know what? You don't
All
need
right, I'll get out. Bye.
No.
What do you got?
I just want to know, who do you think... So here's the big thing. We left it on the cliffhanger. So who do you think Bleeder
Chasm
is
hanger.
Currently... What?
Chasm Hanger.
This is a Pits of Hathsin hanger.
Sorry, we just talked about that. Man, I should be
You're the one that wanted to...
So Dave, who do you think the Bleeder is? Who's your big guess? One guess.
Milan, because the accent was wrong, but it was wrong in a profound way. Like, maybe because it was kind of like Bleeder is using the accent wrongly, but it sounds like she's intentionally getting the accent wrong so that she can come off as somebody who's not good at accents, i.e. Milan.
Okay, that was the only question I had for Dave.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. The accent is off, but it seems intentionally so. Therefore, Milan is the target.
And we're finishing the book next week, right?
Correct.
So maybe we'll find out the answer to Craig's question.
Rafo. Or Ranfo. We'll see.
Ranfo. Alright, bye everybody.
Bye, Dave.
Bye,
Dave.
Dave's gone. Play the thing.
This concludes the spoiler-free section of our podcast. If you are, as I am, reading along for the first time, we recommend that you stop listening now, as the following will contain spoilers for not only this book, but for other Cosmere books as well. There may also be general spoilers from any other source material. Spoilers begin now.
Hooray!
All right, I had a question. So making the pits of Hathsin really nice. That was Kelsier. Like Kelsier had Sazed do that, right?
No, I think it was Sazed. Kelsier blew it up. If
right.
You remember, he went there right before he died, and he like went all Super Saiyan on it.
But that didn't make it nice, that actually made it worse.
Correct, yes. And I think Sazed cleaned it up. I don't think it was Kelsier, but maybe I'm wrong. You know, he could have came back and one of his things was to clean up the pits of Hathsin. And Sazed's like, yeah, okay, I'll let you do that.
That just feels like a thing that Kelsier would have Sazed do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my opinion as well.
Speaking of, what's Kelsier up to these days? Like, at this point in the book, any updates? Do we know anything? Do we have guesses about anything?
We know nothing at this point. Kelsier is so far gone.
We need Secret History 2 and / or The Lost Metal, The Last Metal. Which one is it?
The next book, the last book will be called The Lost Metal.
The Lost Metal, okay.
Which I did get something in the newsletter about that. There's a first look that was in it. I haven't read it yet, but I was going to.
And what metal do you suppose that is?
I assume they were talking about Atium, but maybe I could be wrong.
What if it's Dolomite?
So that was the whole thing about the Bands of Mourning, because it used to be, you would think it was Tindwill's bands, but in actuality, it's the Lord Ruler's bands, right?
Except it wasn't that either.
Right, it's weird.
It's some junk that Kelsier made and then hid.
Yes,
in the
specifically,
open.
These are bands that Kelsier made, and they just attached a name and a mythos to. And he hid them on his own statue.
Yep, as the spearhead, if I'm remembering correctly. But man, I shouldn't be trusted to remember correctly.
Yeah,
I think you're actually correct, Mike. So yeah, so that's the Bands of Mourning. What about Dave's theory on Steris, though? That could be some interesting stuff if she's actually a weird misting.
I want Steris to be a misting. I want her to.
So I don't want Steris to be a misting, and here's why. I like that she plays an important part for the group already. Like, she is strong in what she does, and I feel like it would dilute it a little bit if she just turns out to also be, you know, an ATM misting or something. I think there's definitely something there if she does turn out to be an ATM misting, and I'm okay with it, but honestly, I prefer her just being Steris.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Oh,
I just want her to have everything good and wonderful because she deserves all the good things.
We had a minor correction to stuff we talked about last week. Kalak is still a herald because he senses Yezrian's death.
That is a good point.
Yes. So thank you, Texas Blade, for the correction. I forgot, as I apparently forget many things.
So I have a question in my chat asking, where do you even get ATM? And that's sort of, I think, the point of the last book. Like, so the problem with ATM is that we don't know where it is. We know Marsh has his own stockpile of ATM. Essentially everything that was physically available, I think, in the Chondra homeland at the end. Like, that Marsh has that amount. But there's also a huge stockpile somewhere else.
Have you checked eBay?
I have not. You think I should do that? How much would they charge for that? I don't know. I feel like it would be too much of a markup.
I feel like Sazed could create ATM if he wanted to.
Yeah, well, and I don't think he ever would want to, though.
Well, in that case, it would be on Etsy.
Sazed made him.
Etsy.
No, because it's homemade.
But it's Etsy, because it's ATM.
Right.
Etsy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think Sazed would create ATM. I think it's best. I mean, there's a reason that his metal blows up with water. He doesn't want people to ingest it. So keep in mind, I think it has been said by Brandon, although again, this is coming from my memory, so I could be misquoting here, but Et metal, which is Sazed's metal, does something, but because it blows up with water, we can't find out what it actually does if someone were to burn it.
Yeah, I'm just picturing when Sazed came up with that. He's like, oh look, I get a god metal. I don't want anyone to find out what this does.
The question is, does he know what it does?
That is the question.
There's actually quite a bit that Sazed doesn't know. Like, it's not, the shards don't necessarily grant you perfect omniscience. It's just the way it works and how you can peek into the spiritual realm, you get certain bits of information, but not everything.
Can Sazed create a god metal so mysterious that even he doesn't know what it does?
That's the question, isn't it, Mike?
Getting into these deep theological questions.
So this book, the big thing is sort of a look at Wax. Like, this is really a study on Wax itself and how Harmony wants to use Wax. So this is like one of the first references we get that Wax is Harmony's ruin. And I think later on, in the next series of chapters, Wax calls himself Harmony's sword. So he sees himself, or he's being used as a tool of Harmony, but typically the more destructive end of what Harmony needs to accomplish. And then it's sort of like a question of, is Wax himself okay with this? Does he embrace it? I mean, that's sort of what the whole this book and next book are setting up to look into. So,
and we all know theming there. Where I think that's going. I've said it many times.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, reading this book, I'm not sure if Wax would make a good Harmony.
I think he'd still make a better one than Sazed currently.
I mean, I agree with you that they need someone who can see Harmony as one shard, and Sazed might be having trouble there. I don't think Wax is the one, though.
Sazed has also spent 300 years as, I'm pretty sure, just a really, really powerful cognitive shadow, and is likely feeling the effects of that, and also now has access to information about how that works elsewhere, and could be trying to pass things on so he doesn't run into the same issues as the Heralds.
So he's sort of preemptively trying to move the shards.
I think it's a combination thing. Like he at this point should be aware of how cognitive shadows work. I say that because we now know that, and Sazed for sure knows more stuff about literally every aspect of the Cosmere than we do as readers. And also, he's aware that he doesn't see the Harmony Shard as the Harmony Shard. He sees it as the Preservation Shard and the Ruin Shard, and the bulk of both of those powers are just fighting against each other instead of working for him.
I mean, there is that quote about him being Discord. That is scary. And not the Discord that we use to chat, but Discord as in chaos.
Join our Discord, patreon.com/CosmereCast.
But that sort of scares me. Like, he says he's Harmony, the people view him as Harmony, but there's always this sort of thing in the back of my head where it's like, he could just turn into Discord. Like, the intent, the combination of Preservation and Ruin could be Discord, and that is a little scary. And this sort of goes into my theory that a lot of the shards, and maybe it doesn't apply to the single shards themselves, maybe it's the dual shards that have this problem, but each of them can be viewed in two different ways. So
Harmony is Preservation and Ruin, but Preservation's on top, where Discord is Preservation and Ruin, but Ruin's on top.
Right.
Yes?
That's why I'm like, it could apply to all of the dual shards. Harmony's the only one we know of right now, because we haven't been able to combine any other shards. Maybe as we go forward in the Cosmere, that will change. But as of right now, he's the only dual shard.
Like, I think Sazed is very much, like, if he's got Ruin and Preservation, then it's going to be Harmony. But if he hands Ruin and Preservation off to somebody else, say, for example, then
for
they
example,
would be Discord.
Waxillium Ladrian?
Like, maybe, just, you know, to throw a name out there.
Wayne.
Yes, Wayne.
Oh, Wayne would be Discord. Mm-hmm.
Dude, we need to give whimsy to Wayne. How about
Hold
that?
On.
Yes.
Wayne, what shard Wayne decides he holds is going to be based entirely on the hat.
That's right. Today I put on my nice regal proper hat, so I'm Harmony today. So, I don't know. But at the same time, I mean, you bring up a good point. This has frequently been brought up in the Cosmere. When you have all of these shard holders sort of going a little nutso after a while, you can tell that there's something wrong. Like, it's definitely been emphasized that there's a problem with the existing shard holders now that the intent rules them so strongly. So they need to be refreshed after a period of time, and Sazed probably knows that.
Coming back to life and then staying alive for hundreds or thousands of years is bad for your mental health.
Well, yeah, because you grow and change and things happen over years. But if you've got this shard that's trying to keep you static, like, you know, I can't even go a year without changing my hairstyle. So, like, these people are supposed to stay the same for forever? That'll make you crazy.
So, I mean, the problem is, so we got Kelsier. He's also been a cognitive shadow for 300 years. But we have, aside from the shard holders themselves, I think Vasher is probably one of the longest lived. No, the Heralds. The Heralds are probably older than.
Yeah, the Heralds for sure. Vasher is 300 years plus some amount less than 300 years.
So and the Heralds are like
4,500 years minimum.
But the Heralds were also tortured on Braze,
which
and
didn't help.
Like, came back to life and died, and it's like this whole weird thing. So, like, I can understand why they're broken. So Vasher's essentially the one I have to look at as he's the longest, quote unquote, living cognitive shadow that isn't a shard holder. And I don't know. He doesn't seem that crazy.
Well, hold on. Herald timeline. So they existed as heralds being tortured regularly for some amount of time and then continued to exist for another 4,500 years.
This is true, yes.
So
that's pretty old.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're definitely the longest lived.
Well, except shardholders.
Yeah, of course.
Shardholders top the list. They are being influenced heavily the whole time by their shard. Yeah. Cognitive shadows are not stable. They're stable, but they're not... It's not good that they're stable.
Yeah, the stability is because of the investiture and not really... It still doesn't do good things to their head, especially when you're ruled over by a single intent. Like, for example, looking at how Odium... like, was completely ruled over by his shard.
Oh, man.
So where would we put Hoid on the stability spectrum?
So it appears that Hoid is jumping through time. He's not... He hasn't actually been alive for all of those years.
He has been alive for a lot of those years, and he's not a cognitive shadow. And I think that might be the bit that matters.
Yeah, so he had his full identity. Or maybe he doesn't. We don't actually know, because he has all those different names, and there's a chance that his identity itself has been changed. And we know he held one of the Dawn Shards before.
Maybe being a cognitive shadow means you can't grow as a person.
So you think your identity becomes more static?
Just gets locked into wherever it was at the time that you died.
It feels like Vasher has grown, though.
Has he?
Certainly made some changes.
Has he?
Well, because that was his whole thing. Like, he was Warbreaker, and then he was Maker, whatever.
I was going to say he's grown more cynical and jaded.
Certainly.
Okay, but, like, the core of his cognitive shadow character is researcher slash violent person. And he sort of kept that.
Good question, Mike. I don't know. Again, I think the one character we need to look at is Vasher. He's the best example we have of a non-herald, non-shard holder. Cognitive shadow.
So, dear Brandon, write Nightblood, write the Lost Metal, Stormlights. Ooh. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 while you're at it. Go ahead and give us Dragonsteel, if you could. Whatever book or short story Whimsy's going to show up in, if we could get to that, like, soonish. And then...
And Arithmetist 2.
And Arithmetist 2. Yes, please. Thank you.
In his spare time, he can work on that. And by the way, do it in the next couple of years so we'll have plenty of content and we don't have to pause the podcast.
I mean,
we're going to have to pause the podcast.
We could just blind Dave. Like, that seems like the easier way to go.
We still have like 3 years of content left, right, Tori? Something like that, 2024, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, yeah, we're good. We got time.
Well, that'll get us by to the next Stormlight book.
That's the plan.
And then we'll just have to find a new reader, like we said.
Eventually, Ada will be old enough to be the new reader.
Oh, we'll have to start her off with Alcatraz versus the Evil Librarians.
We can do a little, like, side one with that.
Do believe that is Brandon's, like, youngest age group work.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, so Blue Fox is asking, how did Hoid get the shard? It's not a shard, it's a Dawn Shard, which is different. The Dawn Shards are words. They're not an actual shard.
The Dawn Shards...
It's a command. Sorry, it's not a word. It's a command. The Dawn Shard is a command.
Or it could be described as an intent, but not power. Like
a
you
command
need...
like destroy evil?
I mean, yeah, that's... I have a guess that Nightblood was actually made from a Dawn Shard, among other things. But
I think I can agree with that, Mike.
The Dawn Shards, as far as I can tell, are an intent, like a shardic intent... minus any sort of power to back it up. So, like, you have to bring the investiture to the table in order for it to work properly.
B-Y-O-I?
Something like that. Does that track with you guys?
Sure.
Yeah. And I will say it's specific that Hoid has never picked up or held the power of an actual shard. Like, he specifically is avoiding that. But Dawn Shards are different.
And, okay, so, like, back to Nightblood as a Dawn Shard. Maybe not destroy evil. Maybe just destroy.
Yeah, I could see if he was designed with the Dawn Shard of destroy.
just built around destroy, and then they added in as a command word destroy evil to sort of give it some level of focus and not have him break planets.
I sort of agree with that. I think that's why Nightblood is so scary to lots of entities in the Cosmere. When he's designed with the power of a Dawn Shard behind him, it is a scary thing. And like the Dawn Shards themselves have a crazy amount of power. So if you guys aren't sure what we're talking about, a lot of the information we got about Dawn Shards comes from the short story Dawn Shard, which was pretty good. It has Lopin. The Lopin.
Yeah. It has the Lopin swearing his third ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Third ideal of to like just chill a little bit, man. Just chill.
So definitely check that out if you haven't done so, because there is a lot of Cosmere information in that book.
So think of Dawn Shards like a gun without ammunition.
But it is interesting to flesh it out, because we've always talked about shards and shard holders, and shards are the intent behind some powerful chunk of investiture, whereas Dawn Shards are a command, so they can shape bits of investiture. And in fact, the Dawn Shards were what were used in order to break Adonalsium in the first place. So they're very important, and we've only seen one of them on screen.
Hey, what would happen if Odium also combines with Whimsy?
Ashnit Whimsy? We have the Looney Tunes. That is what we would have. That's what would happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
No. Specifically the Animaniacs. Forget the Looney Tunes. I think we go full-blown Animaniacs at that point.
Absolutely.
The magic system would be anvils falling from the sky. You run off a cliff and gravity doesn't work until you look down.
We would have Toontown.
You paint a tunnel in a wall.
It would be whimsical. Yeah.
Whimsical, but also painful.
Whimsical, but also cruel and unforgiving.
So Wile E. Coyote.
And that's what would happen.
Sorry, what'd you say, Craig?
I said, just watch Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That is what would happen if you combine.
Yeah, Judge Doom. That'll do it.
Billboards, as far as the eye could see.
Yeah, okay. He is specifically the holder of the Odium and Whimsy shard combined.
Yep. All right, I think that's a good place to end. And I'm hungry.
Okay.
Bye, Internet.
Good night, Internet.
Bye.
This has been the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at CosmereCast, or like us on Facebook. Our theme music is Traveling Made Up Continents by Gillicuddy, used with permission. Hear more from him at the Free Music Archive. Thanks for listening.